age 4 up through 5th grade. I need some help also with the younger ones back there. And the title of the message this morning, I think this goes right in with everything we've sung this morning, everything that's been said during Sunday school class. The title of the message this morning is, Time is Undefeated. Time is Undefeated. And it's a reminder and a motivation. And if you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to begin by looking at verse 24. And if you remember from last Sunday morning, we preached a message that we entitled, How to Rule the World. And what we were talking about was about how it is that we will inherit the earth. How it is that we will inherit all things. And it's not the way that people think. It's actually the opposite. This is exactly what God's Word says. When Christ says that the meek shall inherit the earth. If I title that How to Rule the World or How to Inherit the World, if you roll your eyes at that, understand something. You're not rolling your eyes at me. You're rolling your eyes at what Christ said. Christ said that the meek shall inherit the earth. And we talked about how that this earth and the fullness of this earth and everyone on this earth is Christ. They belong to Him. And He has said that the meek shall inherit the earth. You see, that ruling and that inheritance does not come the way we think it does. It comes the opposite of the way that we think, which is through humility and faith. That's how we become an heir of all things. As we mentioned last Sunday morning, we are an heir of all things. We are an heir of this earth as believers. But you know what? Really, the emotion that I feel, and I think we all feel as believers, we don't even care. Because ultimately, we are heirs of God. We inherit Him. Who cares about this world? Who cares about even this universe in comparison to the one who breathed this universe into existence? That is who I'm going to inherit one day. That I'm an heir of God. I will inherit God. I will be His God. Or excuse me, He will be my God and I will be His Son for all eternity. And so as we look at this morning, I think this ties in as well with our message this morning. Time is undefeated. It's a reminder and a motivation. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. If you would, stand in honor of God's words and read this together. Listen to what this says. It says, For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Let's go in prayer together. Father, thank You for Your Word. God, we are so glad that we can get Your perspective on life, on ourselves, on this world, on everything that we experience. God, You have made Your perspective, Your knowledge, Your truth, Your revelation available to us that, God, we can see properly, that, Lord, we can see things for what they truly are and not for what they seem to be many times. It can be so deceptive. Father, we pray that all of us this morning, God, that this would be a reminder to us and it would be a motivation that, God, time is undefeated in this world. God, that our life is just like a blade of grass. Our life is just like the life of a blade of grass. It's here for a little while and it vanishes away. Father, it's so good to be reminded of this. Lord, I would say that every person in this room has heard this before, but God, I pray that we would realize it and that it would that truth, that reality would change the way that we live our lives. Because God, if it does not change us, if it does not transform us, then God, we really do not believe it. God, I pray that we would believe that this morning and that it would have an impact on our life. God, that's the purpose of this message this morning, and I pray that it would have its intended purpose, that You would use it, God, for Your glory and for Your purpose this morning as we have this time together. Father, we thank You again for Your Word. We thank You, God, for being here this morning. God, it's already been a blessing to be here, and I pray that You would just continue to bless, Father, throughout this message and throughout our children's church upstairs. Help us, God, to grow this morning, and God, give us what we need. I don't know what the needs of every person here is, God, but You do, and I pray, Father, that You would meet the need this morning. Thank You, Father, for this time together. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Be seated. Now, this verse of Scripture is inside of a glorious context, okay, that we're going to look at later on this morning. But I want to focus on this statement in verse 24. Because what this verse is saying is kind of what I'm summarizing when I say that time is undefeated. That's actually a quote. You see that in quotations up there. You know what I'm quoting? I'm quoting the great American philosopher and thinker, Rocky Balboa. I think Carrie follows some of his teachings. Jason's made her sit and watch the entire Rocky series, and she despised it, but he loved it. So anyway, he was telling me about that a week or two ago. But Rocky Balboa is a person I heard say that, and it's been said by more than just Rocky. But in the context of what he said, it's interesting because if you know anything about the Rocky series, you know his big opponent in 1 and 2, I think, Apollo Creed. Apollo Creed's son comes and speaks to Rocky, and he says he was the greatest fighter ever. And he says, well, greatest fighter? He said, you beat him, though. And he said, no, I didn't beat him. He said, time beat him. He said, time beats everybody. Time is undefeated. Now, ignore the source for just a minute of where I'm quoting from, but don't be distracted by that, because that is a very true statement. That's a very true statement. It's especially true in the sports world and in the entertainment world, but it's also true for all of life, everybody in this room. We're not in the sports world or the entertainment world, but it's true for us too. Time is undefeated. I say that this morning, and I think that's directly in the context of what Peter is writing here in 1 Peter chapter 1. And I think this is important for us to remember this morning, okay? I want you to remember this when you see all the arrogance and the bravado and the brashness of our society. And I think that in America, I'm going to be honest with you here, I think we are the most arrogant society probably in the world. I think we're the most arrogant society in the world today, if not of all time. And folks, that's a problem. What I'm saying this morning is don't be impressed by all this. When you see this arrogance, you see this brashness, don't be impressed by it, and don't be angered by it. And certainly, don't become arrogant or puffed up yourself. See, this is a reminder this morning, here in verse 24, that our life is like a blade of grass. It's like a blade of grass. Now, when I say that, your life doesn't feel like a blade of grass. I mean, you know, within our life, we see a blade of grass come up and it withers away. We see that. We witness that. It seems like it's just a very brief period of time. So as we read this morning, our life doesn't seem like that because it's within our life that we observe that. So whose perspective are we getting on our life? It's God's. God sees our life as just like a blade of grass that comes up and it withers away. It dries up and it withers away. I say that this morning as you've been reading through, if you've been reading through your Bible, doing a daily Bible reading, reading through the Old Testament, you think about world leaders. You think about Pharaoh. Pharaoh oppressed and enslaved and exploited the Jewish people, the children of Israel. And that went on in his life for decades, but it had been going on even for centuries. But Pharaoh's life was like a blade of grass before God. And as God was patient and as he tolerated that abuse and that arrogance of lifting himself up to be a God, God endured that and endured that and endured that, till finally he said, enough's enough. And his life came to an end, as you know, as you've read about in the book of Exodus. And think about Pharaoh. Think about Nebuchadnezzar. I think about who was the king of Babylon, probably the most powerful man in the world at that time. Think about Alexander the Great. Think about that, just that name, Alexander the Great. Is he great today? What is he today? I mean, this is the man, as we talked about in Sunday school class, that, you know, in this life, whenever you succeed and you actually get everything you could dream of, everything you ever wanted, it's a very depressing thing. It's a very disappointing thing in this life. Alexander the Great once made this statement, or it was said about him, that he wept because there were no more kingdoms, there was no more world to conquer, no more kingdoms to conquer. He conquered them all. Alexander the Great. But he's not great today, is he? I think about the Roman emperors. You know, Jesus lived within and under the Roman Empire. You think about all these great emperors, all these great Caesars throughout the history of Rome that went on for multiple centuries. Think about Genghis Khan. The Mongol. He conquered, he is the pinnacle. He conquered more land than any man that's ever lived. Genghis Khan, who was Mongolian. I think about Napoleon. I think about Hitler and Stalin and 39 former U.S. presidents. Where are they now? Right now as we speak this morning. They're gone. And we are like grass. And time is undefeated. It gets everybody. No exception. You see, God is patient. We keep talking about this. We talked about this this past week. In regards to the blessings of God with Abraham and Sarah, He told them, you're going to have a child. How long did He wait from the time the promise was originally made until He had Isaac? How many years was it? 25 years. God waits 25 years. The promise is given to Abraham when he is 75 years old. Isaac is born when Abraham is 100 years old. And I said that God is patient. I mentioned this before. I heard a preacher mention that God deals in decades. That's not the way you and I operate, is it? We deal in seconds or minutes. We want things right now, instant gratification. But God deals in decades. God is patient with our blessings. But God is also patient in judgment. He can wait. God is not rash. He doesn't lose His temper. He doesn't fly off the handle. He doesn't have to. Do you know why He doesn't have to? You listen to me closely. Because everyone is going to come to Him. Everyone. No exception. I don't care how brilliant someone is, how rich they are, how healthy they are today, how powerful they are today. They're on their way to meet God. He doesn't have to be rash. He doesn't have to be reactionary. He just is patient and He waits. God is patient in His blessings, but He's also patient in His judgments, thankfully. Many times we watch things happen. This is the big question by atheists. Why didn't God do something? Why doesn't He intervene in these oppressive regimes like in North Korea where people are being, basically they're enslaved within their own country, men like Kim Jong-un? Why doesn't God do something? You stay tuned. You think God's not going to do anything? What happened to Kim Jong-il, Kim Jong-un's dad? Where's he at today? Everybody's headed to God. Everybody is. And God can be patient. I think about prayer requests, and this is something, hopefully you don't get too angry at me as I say this, but I feel the need. When we have prayer requests, like on Wednesday night or even here on Sunday morning, or I hear prayer requests, I always feel like it's important to insert something in there. As we're praying for people's health, people that are dealing with terminal illnesses, people that are praying for people with cancer or whatever it might be. Maybe something as bad as cancer or something just like the flu. Whenever we are praying for somebody, I always make this reminder. The person we're praying for, although we're praying for healing and we pray that God would extend their days, they are going to die. Why do I emphasize that? Because the most important need is to share the gospel, because everybody's going to die. And I pray for someone. I know that God has healed and He's given life and He's extended someone's days by a decade or 2 decades or 3 decades. Someone that might have had a cancer when they were in their 40s or 50s, God can extend their life into their 80s, but guess what? They're going to leave this world. Every person we ever pray for, if they have cancer, we pray for their cancer, but also pray for their soul and for their spirit. Why? Because they're going to die. We have to remember that. And that's why when we pray, the spiritual needs far outweigh the physical needs. Though the physical needs are important. Because everybody's going down to this world. Time is undefeated. Going back to Genesis chapter 3, to the fall of man, from that day forward, time is undefeated amongst humanity. I want us to remember this morning, that the most powerful, rich, healthiest people you see today, folks, one blood clot, one stroke, and they're out of this world. Or they'll be reduced to the point that they can't even go to the bathroom by themselves anymore. I want you to think about that. Men like, I think there was a story about Woodrow Wilson, who I think was one of our greatest presidents. Woodrow Wilson was pushing for something called the League of Nations right after World War I, before World War II. And that League of Nations could have possibly prevented World War II. So he presented it to Congress, and Congress said, this is back in the early 1900s, and he presents this to Congress around 1920, somewhere around that time period. He presents it to Congress, and Congress says, no way, we're not going to vote to join up with the League of Nations with European nations. And so Woodrow Wilson goes on this tour around the country to raise support for the League of Nations. He's riding in a train and he's going around and he's having a lot of success. People are getting behind this idea and they're going to pressure Congress to get America to join the League of Nations. He's going around and he's sharing this. He's campaigning out of the back of a train, and one day he's campaigning out of the back of the train out west somewhere. He is sharing this message and he stops mid-sentence. Everybody can tell something's gone wrong. He's really pushed himself. He's fatigued. He's been going and going and going, trying to raise support for the League of Nations. And he thinks this is going to prevent future world wars. And so he's sharing this message. He's campaigning for it. It's going well. He gets midway through his speech and he stops just like this. And he steps back, kind of stumbles back, and they have him sit down. He had a stroke. He never thought clearly again. You know, people say that Hillary Clinton was going to be the first female president if she'd won this last election. Some historians have said, no, not really. You know who the first female president was? Edith Wilson. Because I think for the last almost 2 years of his presidency, everything came through her, because her husband, though they kept it quiet, and you could keep things quiet back then, was basically become an invalid. The most powerful man in the world has a stroke, and he's done. He lived for many years after that, but he was never able to think straight again. His health deteriorated from that point on. Folks, I'm talking about every person. Nobody is exempted from this. I think about probably younger people here wouldn't recognize this name, Christopher Reeves. You think about this movie star, and what's so interesting about him is that he's playing Superman. I mean, and you can imagine what he looks like if you're going to be playing the role of Superman. But it was in his youth, while he was still young, he still had vitality. He suffers an accident riding a horse. He's thrown off a horse, breaks his neck. I think it's a quadriplegic. From the neck down, he's paralyzed the rest of his life. As you look at him, he looks the same, but he begins to wither away, even as a young man. He's passed away now, died now. But folks, this is a reminder. It's important for us to remember this morning, that we are like grass before God. We have to remember that. I know that's not something that's pleasant to think about, but man, as you put that away and you put that in your mind, it's a tremendous reminder. You know, a blade of grass, when it knows it's a blade of grass, is not going to be arrogant. It's not going to be puffed up. And I'm telling you, most people today don't realize who they are or what they are. And it shows. But as we think on that this morning, I say that time is undefeated. And I say that as a reminder this morning. We talked about it a few weeks ago. We need to dismount the high horse. We need to remember to be humble before God. Every person in this room, listen, I have no earthly idea what could happen in your life this week. As I said earlier, you know, it could be something like a stroke, just a little blood clot goes to your brain. They can't get you to the hospital in time, and part of your brain dies, and you're done. You lose your motor skills. You lose your ability to do anything. That could happen to any one of us. But you might say, well, I'm young. You know, that happens to people as they get older. But an accident, a car accident. Folks, I understand this is what we talked about Wednesday night a little bit, that we accept the promises of God, just like Abraham received the promises of God. And at the end of our class this past Wednesday night, I asked the question, I said, what has God promised you? And I love the answers. They were things like eternal life, heaven, going home when this life is over, that Christ is going to return, that Christ has prepared a place for us. I love those answers. Those are the correct answers. So then I asked the question, has God promised you that you will never have cancer? He's never promised that. And if we're not careful as Christians, we can claim promises of God that He never made. He never told you you won't have cancer. Has God promised you that you won't have a car accident in which you are terribly injured? and your life is forever changed? Has God promised you that you won't have a stroke and be rendered unable to take care of yourself for the rest of your life? God has not made that promise. And by the way, this life is extremely uncertain. I think all these things tie together. It's when we were singing earlier about God's been good, about our thankfulness to God. You understand that something could happen, an event could happen in your life this week that would change you forever to where you would give any amount of money to get back to where you are this morning. You have the ability to see, the ability to hear, the ability to walk in here unaided. These are tremendous blessings. Christopher Reeve spent all of his money trying to get back even closely back to what he was before, and it never worked. He would have given any amount of money to just be able to stand up and run a mile. He couldn't do it. A celebrity, a multimillionaire, he would have given all of that up just to have the ability to do what you and I do every day that we take for granted. This has a tremendous impact as we think about this morning. As we're reminded of this, you may say, man, that's kind of depressing, but it's not really depressing. It's a tremendous reminder. It helps balance us out. For now we can be thankful for what God has given us. We don't take these things for granted. We can truly have a heart of gratitude and thankfulness and humility and faith in God. But I want you to see the full context of what we're reading this morning in 1 Peter chapter 1. I want you to read the entire context here with me in verses 18 through 25. And verse 24 is what we just read. Now I want you to listen close to what we're getting ready to read. Because for the Christian, for the one who believes and has been forgiven, it is all different. Everything I've said this morning is different for the Christian. Listen to what it says here. Verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you have not been redeemed with corruptible things. Hear that word, corruptible? That means over time. That means it's something that deteriorates over time because time is undefeated. So he's saying you're not redeemed with these corruptible things that time is going to defeat over time. It says these corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation. This is talking about your old way of life. Okay? For as much as you have not been redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, your old way of life, received by tradition from your fathers. But you've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. This has been God's plan all along, to redeem us through Christ. Verse 21. Who by Him you do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. It's saying that it's changed you, it's transformed you internally, which has also transformed you externally as you care for one another. Verse 23, being born again. Now listen close to what this says. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, read verse 24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Listen to verse 25. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the Word which by the Gospel is preached unto you. Do you see what's being said here? Verse 24 is true. But the entire context is God, through the pen of Peter, contrasting the life of the believer and everybody else's life. That's what he's saying here. He is contrasting this life with the life that we have in God through Jesus Christ. The life of the unbeliever with the transformed life of the believer. Do you see those words in there? Incorruptible, living and abiding forever. That's what you and I have been called into as Christians. As we believe God, just like Abraham believed God. Do you also understand what he's saying there? As he talks about Christ and says this, Let me find my... Okay. Verse 21. referring to Christ, it says, who by Him do believe in God. Through Christ we now believe in God that raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. That's an enormous statement. Do you know why it's enormous? What that's saying is this. Time is not undefeated. Death is not undefeated. It's more like approximately 20 billion and one. Who's the one? Jesus Christ resurrected. He resurrected in a body that is incorruptible. It abides forever. Has Jesus Christ decayed or been corrupted since His resurrection? Time has had no effect upon Him. Time is not undefeated. Death is not undefeated. Jesus rose from the dead with a glorified and incorruptible body. He defeated time and corruption and death. Why? For us. On our behalf. And because of this fact, everything is different. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians, the last scripture we'll look at this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. This is one of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 5 are two of my favorite chapters. Listen to what this says as Paul is writing this to the believers at Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. It says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." As Christians, we're not immune to time. We're going to age. We're going to get older. Our health is going to fail. Our body's going to fail. That's what Paul is writing and explaining here in verse 16, that our outward man will perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not on the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. It changes everything. You see, Jesus moved the goal of our life when He showed up here. It's not anymore about, as you think about the human life, you think about, you know, people remember back to their glory days. Remember back to those days that have gone past. They're looking backwards to their teens or their 20s or their 30s when they were healthy, when they were vibrant, when they were full of life and vitality. They look back and Christ says, absolutely not. He has moved the goal not to that middle part of our life when we're at our greatest capabilities or strength or health, but He has moved it to the end of our life. The goal is not about having vitality in this life or having health and things in this life. Our goal is now eternity with God. Eternity, eternal life with Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. Do you know what that means for us as Christians? This is how it changes everything. We're getting closer to our goal all the time. This world hates aging. In this world, there's nothing worse than that, especially in this culture. You go to somewhere like China, you go to Eastern cultures, older people are seen to have wisdom, young people are seen to know nothing. Okay, so you go to some other cultures in the world, they value wisdom and experience, but not in this culture, not in America. What do we value here? Youth, vibrancy. There are billions and billions and billions of dollars spent right here in America to try to be young again, to try to lessen the effects of aging. This world hates to age. They hate it. That's the worst thing that can happen for an athlete, for a celebrity, for any one of us in this room. The worst thing that can happen is you grow old. But for a Christian, it's the exact opposite. Every day, we're getting closer to the goal. As an unbeliever, you're getting further and further away from your goal, which is youth. As a Christian, you're getting closer and closer to your goal, which is eternal life with God, which is incorruptible, which is not temporal, but it is eternal and it never fades away. That is how Christ has changed things for us in our life. As it says there, we're being renewed day by day. Every day, I'm getting closer. I'm 35 years old. I could care less. I can't wait. I go through each day not with dread of saying, oh no, I'm going to get older. Maybe I have blood pressure issues, heart issues, whatever might happen, my hair thinning, which it's doing. Whatever that is, I don't care. I really don't care. Bill used to, I used to think, oh Lord, anything but my hair falling out. Oh Bill, poor Bill, he's lost his hair. And Bill said, I don't care. And I'm like, how can you not care? Well, guess what? I don't care. It doesn't matter. I could care less about that because as I get older, I get closer. This world, as this world gets older, gets further away from its hope, from its joy, from its happiness. I like the song we sing. I can't think of the title of it. Something about I'm going home, but it says this. And I think about this as I'm walking around work and I think about time passing. Folks, time plays right into my hand. You can't threaten me with time. You can't threaten me with death. That's what I'm longing for. Bring it on. There's a song we sing, and it says something like this. It says, I am not complaining. Every day I'm gaining glory. Hallelujah. I'm going home. Every day I'm gaining as a Christian. If I were a lost man, I would be losing every day. As a Christian, I'm gaining every day. Gaining, the inward man gets stronger every day. My spirit has never been stronger than it is this morning. When I was a teenager, when I could have done a whole lot better in our little 5K we did, when I could have ran that thing in about, 25 or 30 minutes or even less, my spirit was weak then. My spirit is strong today. Even though my body's getting older, my spirit is growing stronger. And I can't wait for tomorrow. I want to speed this thing up, if anything. I cannot wait for the future. I live in anticipation of what's going to happen next. A blood clot hits my brain. Listen to me. I'm ready to go. I can't wait. I'm going to leave that in God's hands. I want to live here for as long as I have usefulness, as long as God wants to use me for His glory. When He's done with me, I'm ready to go. I'm looking forward to that. That's my goal. That's the mark that I'm running towards. That's the finish line. Being renewed day by day, even through afflictions and hardships and trials, as it says there, that light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Folks, this motivates me to live. It motivates me to live life to the fullest and to tell everyone what God has revealed. That Christ has defeated time and corruption and death for us on my behalf. I can't be defeated today because Christ defeated the undefeatable time, corruption, and death. And He did that on my account. He didn't have to do that. He didn't need to do that. He's timeless. He's eternal. But He stepped into time to defeat time for you and I. So that now it's on our side as Christians. As we get a song this morning, I'm going to ask Bill and singers to come. What song do you have, Bill? I was going to say maybe Hold to God's Unchanging Hand, but you might have a better one to sing this morning. There's a lot that apply to this. But as we get ready to sing this morning, if you need to pray, this altar is open. And I would encourage you to come and to pray if God's dealing with you. But this morning, I hope that this is a reminder to you that this life is short. We have that little saying that I say all the time, and hopefully, I like saying things like that because they're memorable, they kind of stick in your brain. When we say this, that only one life will soon be passed. Listen, we're like grass, folks. We're here for a little while, and we vanish away. If you're going to do something for Christ, you need to do it right now. You don't need to wait. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I'm telling you the truth when I say that. When C.T. Studd wrote those words, he was telling this world the truth based upon God's Word, and I'm telling you the truth. I hope that you'll believe that. I hope that you'll apply that to your life. Listen, as Justin shared in Sunday School class this morning, My father passed away when he was 53 years old. I'm 35. If I live to be his age, I have 18 years left. I never will retire. 53 is my retirement age as it stands right now. If I want to wait until I get more time on my hands or I'm better off financially to go on mission trips, to do ministry, to pastor, it will never happen. I have to do it right now. I've got to take some vacation time to go. Because folks, my time may be running out. And I have no promise of being 53 when I leave this world. I may not make it to that. But folks, I feel in myself, even at 17 years old, my father passed away, it immediately instilled in me an urgency to say, Jordan, this life is short. Now you know that. You know that more than your other 17-year-old friends, and you need to get busy about serving me. It's the same message for you this morning, that this is a warning. This life is short, but it's also a motivation. Folks, we have a tremendous hope. We are anticipating a tremendous hope ahead, but our time on this earth is short. Let that be a motivation to you. If you're going to share Christ with somebody and tell them that Christ has defeated death, hell, the grave, time, corruption, you better tell them right now because we're running out of time. As we stand, as we sing, what page do you have? Page 358. The church